My dear friends, today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit as you are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like to this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets. And the Pharisees being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, David's. He saith to them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Virgin of all virgins blessed, listen to my fond request. Let me share that grief of yours. These words are taken from the sequence for the Mass for the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, although today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, yesterday we observed the Feast of Our Lady's Seven Sorrows, and so I would like to speak to you about her seven sorrows today. In the year 1808, Pope Pius VII erected the first four dioceses of America. They were Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Bardstown, Kentucky, which later was moved up to the Ohio River in Louisville, Kentucky. Pope Pius VII was very happy to do this at this time, because he was actually suffering greatly at the hands of the leaders of Europe. And so to be able to see the growth and the maturity of the church in America gave him great consolation. 4 years before he had created our first four dioceses, the Pope was supposed to have crowned Napoleon Bonaparte as the Emperor of France. Now, as often happens in this life, the day was supposed to be one of great joy and rejoicing, but it turned out to be far different for the Holy Father. You see, the Holy Father had agreed to this coronation, an attempt to restore some peace and prosperity, especially for the poor Catholics who had suffered so greatly during the French Revolution. The Holy Father had conceded so far as to make the coronation ceremony take place in Paris, and so he endured the expenses and the hardship of travel rather than making Napoleon come to Rome. It was at this ceremony, though, that Napoleon, in all his arrogance and pride, took the emperor's crown out of the Pope's hands, placed it on his own head, and loudly and boldly proclaimed for all to hear, I crown myself. As if to say there was no power on earth, not even the supreme authority of the Vicar of Christ, that was worthy to crown him Emperor of France. From that day he began to show his true character towards the Pope. Napoleon exiled Pius VII a little later on, and during this exile, to make a show of his own supposed omnipotence, the wretched Napoleon actually had the Pope dragged through Europe in an animal's cage. He had asked the Pope to make him the Emperor of France so that he could receive God's blessing. And now he had fallen so far through his own pride and arrogance that he had the same Vicar of Christ put in an animal's cage for a number of years. And this crime was all the more terrible because as the Pope made his way through Europe back to Rome, each different ruler and prince who saw this happen to the Pope began themselves to throw off their own legitimate authority. And the scandal was widespread in this offense against God and the papacy. Pope Pius VII, though, endured this exile and this cruelty for the better part of a decade. It wasn't until 1814 that he finally made his way back to Rome. And when he safely was back at the Vatican, it was then that he wanted to honor our Blessed Mother as the Lady of Sorrows. He had prayed to her so often during his exile. He had prayed to her to help him through all of his pains and trials. And so he wanted every Catholic in the world to know, love, and honor Our Lady, especially as the Mother of Sorrows. And that is when he instituted for the entire Church the feast that we celebrated yesterday, the Feast of Her Seven Sorrows. Now, the pontificate of Pius VII, my dear friends, was in a certain sense a pontificate full of suffering, very similar to Our Lady's own life. How much grief and sadness the Pope endured while he ruled the Church was a mirror, so to speak, of Our Lady's own sorrows and the sword of sorrow which pierced her own Immaculate Heart seven different times. From the beginning of the account of the Gospel, we see that even the joys that filled her soul on the first Christmas night were very soon turned to sorrow when Simeon prophesied that a sword of sorrow would one day pierce her heart and that her son would be set up as a sign for contradiction, which meant to her and to those of that time that he would one day suffer crucifixion. Thus, amid what should have been a very joyous time in her life, welcoming her new son into the world, she was not spared that first sword of grief which pierced her heart. Then, during our Lord's public life, she again acutely felt the suffering of separation as our Lord went about his missionary journeys. And who could put into word for us what she must have suffered on that first Good Friday, when her beloved and most innocent son hung from the cross in her very sight? Our Lady truly did suffer, my dear friends. Although she was the Mother of God and without sin herself, she endured every type of grief imaginable. To help us to endeavor then to understand her sufferings, the Church, especially with Pius VII, has enumerated for us these seven sorrows. The first was the prophecy of Simeon. Then came the flight into Egypt. The third was the loss of the Christ child in the temple, her very first separation from her son. The fourth sorrow came many years later when she met her son on the way of the cross. The fifth was when he died upon the cross. The sixth was when she received his lifeless body into her arms, when she could no longer comfort or console him, but could only grieve over his lifeless body. And finally, her seventh sorrow came when she placed that body into the sepulcher. And we can see from these events that she was not spared, as I mentioned, any sorrow in this life. For us, there are three kinds of pain or sorrow which we can endure. They are either physical, mental, or what we may call spiritual. Physical pains are the pains that we feel in our external senses. These can be at times excruciating, but most people would agree that for the most part they are easier to bear than mental or spiritual anguish. But Our Lady did have physical sufferings to endure, especially in her second and fifth sorrow. Imagine what it must have been like for that new mother and her little child to be on a donkey making their way across the open lands between the Holy Land and Egypt, and all the time enduring the painful trip on the back of a donkey, ever having in mind that the reason that they were enduring all this was because a murderous tyrant was after that innocent son's life. Then 30 years later, she also had another sword of physical sorrow pierce her heart when she stood at the foot of her son's cross, when she watched those last drops of blood be shed from his sacred body, and when her own innocent ears had to hear the many blasphemies, insults, and mockeries hurled at her divine son. The very tone of their voices must have been terrible for her to endure. And yet, in addition to these, she also had the mental anguish of seeing so many that her son wanted to save, so many whom her son had come to live and die for, refusing to accept his grace. With every waking moment from the 33 years from the time that Simeon had given her that first prophecy, imagine those words ringing in her ears and in her soul, "And thy own soul a sword shall pierce." It would have also been a terrible shock and pain to her when she did see her son's loving and innocent face covered with blood and dirt on the way of the cross, and his head crowned with a hideous wreath of thorns. Finally, she had those spiritual trials. These trials come when we feel that we have let our Lord down, or when we feel that we should be loving him more, but we don't know what to do to show our love more. Now, of course, Our Lady never let our Lord down even for an instant. She was the Immaculate Conception. She never even had the slightest fault. Yet nevertheless, when God willed that her divine son be lost in the temple, she had to endure that 3 days of not knowing where he was. 3 days of anguish and pain, trying to understand, trying to realize why she had lost the divine son whom she had cared so much for and whom she had loved so very much. It was a great pain for her and Saint Joseph to resign themselves to the will of God for those 3 days while they searched feverishly for their young son. She personally experienced then, my dear friends, every type of suffering that any one of us will be called upon to bear. What confidence then we must have in her during our own times of trial and suffering. Pius VII realized this after his great sufferings, and that's why he gave us the feast to remind us of these truths. So let us then implore her each and every day to help us take up our cross daily and follow Christ. To do this, there is a devotion which is very appropriate and very simple in a certain sense to make, which Our Lady has promised great graces to those who perform. She has asked that we say 7 Hail Marys each day, one in honor of each of the 7 sufferings, and she has promised 7 very great graces to those who say these Hail Marys. She has promised that she will bring peace to their families, she will enlighten their minds and their hearts about divine mysteries, she will console them in their pains and accompany them in their work. She will give them the grace to save their souls. She will defend them in their spiritual battles against the forces of Satan. She will visibly show them her face at the moment of death. And finally, she will take them directly to heaven after their death. Pray then to this Mother of Sorrows, who is so powerful in our regard. She has shown us how to suffer throughout her own life. Let us follow her good example. With her help, then, in our perseverance, we can, like her, one day arrive at the end of our present sufferings and begin to enjoy an eternal happiness with God and his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.